This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed.
On this episode of The Live Feed, we feature music from Midwest Music Fest 2013. We'll hear from the Sudden Lovelies, a husband and wife acoustic duo of aggressive folk music. We'll learn how storytelling and getting a clear message across, as well as connecting with audiences, is their main goal, and learn how each of them found each other through music. You're listening to The Live Feed. This is Terry Tenseth with the Live Feed at the Masonic Temple in its Midwest Music Fest, and the Sudden Lovelies rolled into town to perform tonight. An amazing set, and well, they put themselves in the genre of aggressive folk, which is new to me, but I did see it and it is different. It's Paige and Danny, and you live in Minneapolis,
yeah,
northeast Minneapolis, or northeast Minneapolis. What is aggressive folk, if you could enlighten the listeners?
I think it's just, it's folk music with a lot of teeth. Some of our songs are more traditional folk, but a lot of them are very high energy and really passionate and have a lot of grit and a lot of growl. So I think that's what aggressive folk is.
What I noticed about the music tonight is I could actually understand the lyrics and get the meaning, and
yeah,
it was
great.
A lot of fun. And the more you understand it, the more fun you can have with it. So kudos to getting a message across. That's great. Now, Paige, you concentrate on the percussive end,
mm-hmm.
right? But at the same time, Danny, you're doing percussion, too, with the suitcase
right.
as your bass kick drum,
yeah.
right? And then you're concentrating on guitar as well. So that's quite a combination. Now, from what I understand is you do a lot of the writing, right?
Yep.
Or is it like a collaborative effort?
Nope. Well, I mean, I write everything, and then what I'll do is when a song is maybe 90% done, I'll take it to Paige, and she adds her parts in, and she's got an amazing voice and does the harmonies almost effortlessly from the start. And, you know, we work on things together and then work on a final product in our live performance. So,
does it start with a lyric, or does it usually start with the music?
It's kind of all at once. I don't know. I mean, sometimes it's just the chord progression and I'll start humming or speaking gibberish or something, and then whatever's happening in my life at that time, the song kind of spills out from there.
When you are writing or composing, is it something you have to say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to work on this now, or is it a spur of the moment?
It's very spur of the moment, and like if I don't feel right or whatever, I'll pick up the guitar, and sometimes a song comes out, sometimes nothing comes out, and it's just, I don't know, it's really here and there and everywhere, so.
Tell me when music became part of your life for each of you.
I've been part of choirs kind of all my life, you know, starting in middle school or elementary school, even church choir, and then all the way through college. I went to UMD and was in university singers there. When I graduated college in 2007, it's when I thought it would be fun to join a band, and that's how Danny and I met, was in a previous band. I actually searched on Craigslist and looked for a female vocalist wanted, and the band he was in was looking for a female vocalist at the time, and that's how we met, and that was in early 2008. So that's how I kind of became in a non-choir music scene, I guess.
Cool. And how about for you?
I started playing guitar when I was maybe 14, and I loved the Seattle sound and grunge and all that, and then I got into some pretty heavy metal and then discovered John Lennon and the Beatles when I was about, I'd say, 18 or something like that. I was late to the party on that one, but it kind of changed me to acoustic music and songs with a real substance and message and that kind of thing. And I think some of our newest stuff now is, you know, like you said, you can hear the words, you can hear the message. That's the point, you know. We want to be able to be understood and that's the goal. You know, we feel much better when an audience can hear what we're trying to say and connect on a deeper level.
I think that's really important because I think there's so much music out there now that has lyrics, but people really don't pay attention to them, or the lyrics actually aren't important. It's right. more about being beat driven, right. And whether it's danceable and whether it's going to have that, you know, addictive point in a person, in a person's head. But it's nice when you can get more out of that.
Right.
And I sense from your performance that that is the goal. For the audience to be, and it creates a memory, right, that makes them come back for more. So that is your goal?
Yeah, I think so. Like settings like this at the Masonic Temple or any theater setting, we kind of call that our bread and butter, where we can storytell a little bit and people can hear the lyrics, and there's, you know, not a basketball game going on the TV in the background or something like that, you know. So yeah, that is the goal for sure. Like Danny said, to connect with the audience through our music and especially our lyrics.
That's important because a lot of times artists struggle with, am I writing for myself or am I writing for somebody else? Mm-hmm. Have you ever come across that struggle, and how do you strike that balance?
I write for myself. Like, it's like a necessity, I would say. It makes me feel better. And then at the same time, I do write for other people too. It's just, it's also self-serving at the same time, you know? So I'll tell the story about someone I met or someone that's really moved me in a certain way. So it's for me, but then also for them. So, and obviously I want to make all of our songs approachable and interesting to who's ever listening. So I don't know, we try and cover all the bases, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Barry Hill from Moonshine Showcase in Wabasha. Thank you all for coming. You can find out everything you want to know about moonshineshowcase.com at that website. But you didn't come to hear me talk, did ya? No. Ladies and gentlemen, they're all the way from their West Coast tour, 6,000 miles they put on in the last couple months. Ladies and gentlemen, you wanted the best, now you got the best, the Sudden Lovelies.
How's everyone doing? Thanks for being here. As Barry said, we pretty much just got out of our car from the West Coast, and it's good to be back in Minnesota.
Does it taste like poison? Can you put it in your mouth? Are those inside you boiling, just dying to get out? Or has this misforsaken daughter cast another spell? Does it taste like water, tasteless as a rain? Have you found another that met you halfway? Well, I found someone and wonder what you might say. Oh, what is what you taste? Does it taste like wine? Cause what you taste is sold. Or prickly strangling vines of the memories old. And do you see the writing on the wall? I'd like to think you're happy. I'd like to think you know. I'd like to think you're lonely. And I'd like to think you show yourself in time. I hope that you're just happy. Oh, what is what you taste?
Now kill 'em.
Down and this mood is striking danger. Suppose I could be wrong, but if I could. I see you like I'm used to. I'd like to think you're happy. I'd like to think you know. I'd like to think you're lonely. And I'd like to think you show yourself in time. I hope that you're just happy. Yeah. What is what you take? One is what you taste. One is what you taste.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
We now return to our interview with the Sudden Lovelies. You're listening to The Live Feed.
Now, you record at home now. You have a studio at home?
Yeah, we do. In 2011, we came out with three albums, and there are three different feels. The first one is very quiet and storytelling and that kind of thing. The second one is more up-tempo and aggressive, and the third one is more deep and lyrical and has more of a worldly view on things. Those three we released from our basement, pretty much. And so we recorded and mixed that all ourselves. But the next one we're actually going to record in a studio and have somebody else turn the buttons, and I'll have the creative control over it at the end. But I got tired of turning the buttons and drove me a little crazy. So,
well, it's kind of hard to be technician and musician at the same time, right? Exactly. So you want to be able to really concentrate on what it is that you're trying to do, which is make music.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, I can see that being frustrating. Mm-hmm. A lot of artists, when I talk to them, actually get frustrated about how much social media that they have to concentrate on. The Twitter, the Facebook, the websites that they're handling themselves. And they're like, oh, it's almost like a separate full-time job. Is that the same thing that you both are running into?
Absolutely. I think we struggle with social media. It's kind of a necessary evil. We right. do like the connection with the fans that we get through that, but it's another thing that you have to think about. You're getting ready for a show and you think, well, oh, we should tweet that we're having a show. You know, it's always this thing in the back of your mind, but like I said, it's necessary to get the it's another way of promoting and getting yourself out there. So
what do you like about the recording process, and then what do you like about the live performance process in contrast?
Well, the recording process is great because, you know, the songs are like babies in a way, and when you record them, you're kind of setting them free. At least that's how I look at it. It kind of puts a stamp on it, like, done, you know? and then at the same time, the live performance changes. I mean, I don't think I've played one song the same, you know, all the way through since we started. Everything varies a little bit, and kind of it's 100% based on feel and passion and all that. So it changes in a live performance, which I love. I mean, the live performance is, that's my favorite, being able to connect with people who are sitting in the room and looking at me and I'm looking at them, and we're both getting the same thing out of what we're doing, you know, that connection, that on a higher level. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea.
I like the recording process for the reason that you, when you're in the studio, you can really just get into the lyrics and the music for yourself. And, like, you know, you're thinking technically as well, but also emotionally, how do I want this to sound? And then with the live performance, you know, you feed off of the audience a lot. And like Danny said, it's always different. You know, if the audience is feeling something different, you're going to perform different, and the energy just feeds off of each other like that. So
you almost have to be psychic in a way, or in tune to the wavelength that's happening, right?
I think it's yeah. just in tune with the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aware.
I'm going to tune this up quickly. This next song is called Moonbeggar. It's very much about doing things passionately and with a lot of belief, and chasing what you want. If you're in the music business, this is a necessity.
Join me in the desert, share with me my hope. I let you breathe the sand air that burns into my lungs. It's a long way to the center. I'm right here on my own and digging there for water. Begging for the moon, well, I beg for the moon. I beg for the moon. When you found me in the garden with my best face on, sun was kissing days, but them goddamn nights were long. When a fire lit the yard and the circle's not so strong, and laughter like a blanket protect her from the dawn. Well, I peek for the moon. I peek for the moon. Being a zombie, it's a doggone cripple curse, cause them horses are such horses when the wagon wheels won't work. And I've been running from the doctor cause he only makes me sick, but being under weather seems to help me with my fix. When I pay for the moon, I pay for the moon. If I ever get there, first thing I'm gonna do is pick up this guitar and write a single just for you. And then we'll maybe make a son or daughter, maybe make a couple more. And I think I won't rethink the things that link me to the floor. When I pick for the moon, I pick for the moon. Then I found something worth more. The big white circle there lights the sky, shining like a diamond in the dark. Well, I had nothing but hills to climb. Then I found something worth more. The big white circle there lights the sky, shining like a diamond in the dark. Well, I had nothing but hills to climb. Something worth more. The big white circle there lights the sky, shining like a diamond in the dark. And I had nothing but hills to climb. Then I found something worth more. The big white circle there lights the sky, shining like a diamond in the dark. And I had nothing but hills to climb. Yeah, then I found something worth more. The big white circle there lights the sky, shining like a diamond in the dark.
Thank you very much. So on our tour posters, it says the Southern Lovelies from Northeast Minneapolis, and underneath that it says aggressive folk. And I think this next song is a perfect example of an aggressive folk song. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but it's got some teeth, I think. This is called Mission Use.
I kissed a stranger in the morning sun. I cut that danger with a loaded gun. My heart is strong and the beat is still. It's mostly life and mostly hate. Well, I'm a sin and a panic man. I curse that star just as I curse the damned. I'm all laid up. Mission yours. You saved the date and cleared up rope. Oh, and you don't make me run. 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 That little beauty with the marble eyes. She finds a ace, she says she has a prize. I'll slip right back. Good old days, they're skin and bone, but just skin to tears. I squeeze that cat, disgust its room to rub. That misfit gypsy don't like the glove. I'm all lit up, mission yours. 11 past 11, and you're gone too soon. And you don't make me run. You don't make me run. You don't make me run. You don't make me run.
You're listening to The Live Feed in our coverage of Midwest Music Fest 2013. We now return to our interview with The Sudden Lovelies.
So you two live together and you're both creating art together. Does it ever get a little tense when you're creating?
Yeah. And it would get tense if we weren't creating. You know, I think people are always, it's human nature to butt heads, I think, at times. But we try and balance it out, you know, like we'll have set aside times where we'll, you know, go to a movie or do normal everyday things that should be done, need to be done, to strike a little bit of a balance between that and our passion, which is our passion and our business and everything. We look at it like a startup company, you know. That's really what it is. It's a business, so
yeah.
We have to invest in it, and we have to work and work and work, and it's a lot of work. There's a lot of people doing what we're trying to do, too. So
you have to separate business time with, this is couple time,
yep.
Right?
Like Danny said, we do have to make time, otherwise we'll just get so involved in the business. But like I said earlier, we met through music. You know, we were kind of business partners, if you want to call it that, before we were in a relationship. And so that was kind of set first, and along with a really strong friendship. And so I think just having that kind of base layer set first, it helps us balance, because we know how to work with each other as business partners in a way. So, and then obviously we know how to work together as husband and wife as well.
Well, hey, I would think it's always scary where you're like, I'm doing this business, we have a friendship, we're going to jump into that pool, and oh my gosh, what's going to happen, because we have this music relationship too. Mm-hmm. That could be frightening, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, what we felt for each other was undeniable, and it was not so scary because we could both feel that it was just the right thing to do, just to be in a relationship and then get married, obviously. So I think we felt it was the right thing to do.
So how do you feel about the Minnesota music scene? Do you think it's unique and different from other states? And if you do, why?
I think it's an awesome scene. In all of our travels, I mean, Minneapolis is amazing. You can see any type of music any night of the week, it seems. And I mean, it's a very strong, thriving scene. I wish there was a little bit more variety in it. You know, like, I think there's certain groups or certain genres that get hot, and then, you know, everybody kind of jumps on that genre or tries to be that genre. And we see a lot of bands that are doing that, and we perform music in a genre that isn't maybe always the coolest or the hippest genre, but it doesn't stop us from doing it. It just is what it is, you know. Minneapolis has got some really, really great music all over the board in every genre, and I think sometimes I wish it was a little more spread throughout all the genres, you know.
More evenly,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Exactly.
So there's a big clump of this over here,
yeah,
and then little of Y or what,
right,
have you.
Right.
Okay. Is it a really tight-knit community that people come and collaborate with each other on a lot?
I think it is. We're not so much a part of, I don't know, it's hard to say. I mean, we're friends with a lot of bands, but we haven't really dabbled in collaboration. I mean, we kind of do our thing, and we're like a really difficult band to just jam with, because neither one of us knows what key we're playing in usually, and we're not really technically musical. We're expressionists, I think, and even like really talented musicians that sit in, you know, we've got tempo changes in our songs, and we change gears, and I, you know, if I put a capo on the fourth fret and play a G, you know, I don't know what chord that is, and so people
curveball.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it does. I mean, I've stopped worrying about it. Actually, it's just one of those things now that it's like, well, we do what we do, and that's all we can do, and so that's it. What you see is what you get.
I wrote this song maybe 3 months ago, something like that. It's kind of the balance of living in the city and loving the country, and I love the city too, don't get me wrong, but there's times I require the peace that only the country can bring, at least for me. And I had the idea to write an old man's country song, and this is my attempt. We should say, why don't you tell the story about the kazoo?
Sure. We, about halfway through, we have a kazoo solo, and we didn't have a kazoo at the time, so we made up our own man-made kazoo sound with our voice, and we actually traded in Salida, Colorado, when we were there. We traded a CD for a kazoo, and it sounded terrible, so we decided to stick with our man-made kazoo, so listen for that.
Wanna write an old man's country song, but I'm a young man, and I'm living in the city like a modern day country old man. Well, maybe if I shut my eyes and got some more sleep in, I could write that old man's country song when I'm, everything was so sweet and simple. It was all about the feeling I need of people like you, who don't mind chasing a train and working harder than they should for their pay. We're spinning tires in the mud and living for love and getting everything we need.
I wanna write an old man's country song, but I'm a young man, And I'm living in the city like a modern day country old man. Maybe if I shut my eyes and got some more sleep in, well, I could write that old man's country song when I'm dreaming. 'Cause everything was so all about the feel and the need of people like you who don't mind chasing a train and working harder than they should for their pay. We're spinning tires in the mud and living for love and getting everything we need. So sweet and simple. It was all about the feeling of need of people like you who don't mind chasing a train and working harder than they should for their pay. We're spinning tires in the mud and living for love and getting everything we need.
Thank you very much. Uh-oh. Pinky's making an appearance. We've got one song that I love this thing, actually. It's about an $18 child's toy, but I think it's got a really cool sound, and we recorded it on this song called Deadly Love. I'm going to play that for you now.
Hello, my dear, would you like to have breakfast? Pancakes or eggs, coffee and juice. You know, if I was 100 and you were my girl, die with a smile. 'Cause you're the one in the world that I run to. 'Cause I can't swim, and you understand. And when you go to work, you make a point to stop the car in the alley. We say four goodbyes, sign out our love. So be my wife, life and partner. Take a moment and think it over. We got nothing but time, and that sounds good. When you're away, I'll try my best to stay busy, but I think of things we do when you're home. At times I get afraid if something absolutely terrible happens. The thought makes me sick. Please come home. Well, I need you. I need you, you're everything I know. And I miss your eyeballs, your heart, and your soul. And your skin on my skin, I tell you, but you already know. Wherever you go, don't matter, I'm gone. So be my wife, life
take a moment, think it over. We got deadly love, and damn, it's good. We got the deadly love, and it's good. Hello again, my love, it's good to see you. Would you like to have dinner? I'm glad you like garlic. I'm cooking for you.
We're going to head back to our interview with Paige and Daniel of The Sudden Lovelies. You're listening to The Live Feed and our coverage of Midwest Music Fest 2013.
Cool. So what's the next big thing for you all? What's the plan? Where are you going?
Well, first we're going to Wabasha. And we have a big show there on May 4th at the Broadway Theater. We're headlining the Moonshine Showcase there. And then after that we'll be heading into the studio and recording a new album, which we're really excited about. After that, maybe the East Coast is in the plans. And
well, for sure the East Coast. We're going to the Newport Folk Festival. We got tickets for that, so our goal is to play there.
Yeah.
Our goal is to play there one day, and we wanted to go check it out. And so we're going to do a tour along the way, head out there and come back home through Canada. And so it'll be another small tour, four or five weeks, something like that.
Oh, cool. And somewhere warmer, possibly, than what we have right now.
We just got home last night from a five-week tour. We were on the West Coast, and on our way back, we got stuck in Winter Storm Yogi.
Yeah.
And we were stranded in Rawlins, Wyoming for 2 days. All the interstates and roads, north, south, east, and west of us, were closed. So we were for sure stuck there for 2 days, and then we had to cancel a show, and eventually we got home at about 10 o'clock last night and then made it here today. So right now it just feels good to be back in Minnesota. Next on the list is go home to Minneapolis and make sure our house is all right. And
after the 12 inches of snow you just got.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
So getting back to that social media thing again, how do people get a hold of you and find your stuff?
Facebook.com/TheSuddenLovelies, Twitter @SuddenLovelies, and our website, TheSuddenLovelies.com. And
which we prefer.
We prefer our website. All our shows, you know, are on there, and and on Facebook and on our website, people can sign up for our email list, which we really prefer because we can we send out one email a month or so, just kind of laying out the big events coming up. And
you don't get there's times where you post on Facebook and you worry about bothering people or being, you know, too pushy or...
Oh, that's that Minnesota Nice thing.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But I know that, you know, if I see 100 posts from a band, even if it's Leonard Cohen or Tom Waits or something, I don't want to see 100 posts, you know, in a week. So we try and be respectful and give people interesting things here and there and everywhere. But in the end, it's just about getting the word out to the people that want to hear what we're doing, you know. And we found that through email or through our website and through Facebook too. We've got some really great fans on Facebook and that follow what we do, and they're great, you know. But
unfortunately, Facebook controls how many people see our posts.
Right.
And so it's not the most reliable. Yeah. So if you want to know what we're up to, sign up to our email list or check out our website. That's the most reliable way.
Well, thanks for taking time out. I know you're probably tired.
Thank you.
Thanks
great.
Very much.
Thanks. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
All right. We got one more song for you. Did you guys enjoy yourselves tonight? Thanks very much for sticking around. We really appreciate it. My name is Danny. This is Paige. We're the Sudden Lovelies. We'll be around for a little while, so come and say hello. Thank you. This song's called Venom.
Well, I'm knee-deep in venom. I am omni-deep in venom. Knee-deep. deep in venom. I am omni deep in venom, knee deep. Well, I'm lying to you, baby. I'm neck deep in venom, neck deep in venom. I am on neck deep in venom.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Paige and Daniel from the Sudden Lovelies for visiting with us on the live feed. More information on the Sudden Lovelies can be found at www.thesuddenlovelies.com. If you would like to see Paige and Daniel perform this Saturday, May 4th, at the Moonshine Showcase in Wabasha, Minnesota, there will be a Trester trolley trip leaving from Ed's No Name Bar at 5 p.m. heading to Wabasha for a pre-show dinner followed by transportation to the show and then a ride back to Ed's at the end of the evening. More details can be found at www.moonshineshowcase.com and by clicking on tickets. You've been listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM. On the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, Visit us at kqal.org.